Hello, this is George Waring in the underground in Uptown Butte, and I'm sharing with you columns that are appearing in the Butte Weekly. Much of the testimony you're going to hear is not mine. I am quoting from articles I've been studying, and so you'll just have to put up with me, as I say, the author of this is. So, first one I'm going to do today was submitted to the Butte Weekly on February the 7th. And interestingly enough, it's entitled State of the Union. Sarah Anderson, who is director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies, and also the co-editor at inequality.org, passed along what our U.S. labor unions would like to see from President Biden. In a recent letter to Biden, the labor unions and other economic justice groups defined three ways the president could make changes to government contracting policies, so as to help workers and give taxpayers a bigger bang for their buck. At the top of their list were incentives to narrow gaps between CEO and worker pay, chief executive officer and worker pay. How big are these pay gaps? I recently pulled the data for 74 low-wage corporations that are major contractors for Uncle Sam. The average ratio between CEO and median worker pay at these firms hit a staggering 599-1 in the year 2021. While these companies' average CEO pay soared to $13 million last year, their average median pay was less than $27,000. In 2021, these firms spent a combined $4.6 billion on stock buybacks that will further inflate the value of their executives' stock-based pay. At one of these low-wage companies, TE Connectivity, the CEO, Terrence Curtin, has reeled in billions in taxpayer-funded contracts in recent years while shipping thousands of American jobs overseas. The company runs 16 electronic factories in China. Last year, CEO Curtin enjoyed a 39% pay increase to give him $14.7 million for the year. The company's median worker pay rose 0.2% to just $24,975. Well, the advocacy letter from the labor unions also urges the administration to use the power of the public purse to discourage wasteful corporate spending on stock buybacks. This previously illegal financial maneuver artificially inflates the value of CEO stock-based pay while doing nothing for workers. Studies indicate that buybacks are also associated with reduced investment and innovation. One tragic case in point is Abbott, a federal contract recipient now notorious for contaminated baby formula. Abbott spent billions on stock buybacks while neglecting to make necessary upgrades to its safety equipment. Finally, the letter from the labor unions and other activists commends Biden's executive order requiring big construction contractors to sign project labor agreements with their workers and urges Biden to extend that condition to all major contractors, along with a mandate to remain neutral in union organizing drives. In recent years, we've seen a rash of anti-union actions, including by major contractors like Amazon and Maximus, despite considerable evidence that unionization improves productivity. Empowering workers also tends to have a moderating effect on executive compensation. In other countries that have significantly higher unionization rates than does the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Sweden, the labor letter notes, average CEO pay is much lower than in the United States. Now, these three demands complement each other. Call for pro-worker procurement reforms, such as proposals to expand family and paid sick leave for contract workers. The basic principle here is easy. United States taxpayers should not have to fund corporate practices that undermine their own economic security. And so I give thanks to Sarah Anderson. And also, I want to give thanks, many thanks, for honking for choice as I sat across the street at the courthouse for 7 or 8 weeks last fall. Because of your honking for choice, I think we were able to defeat the Republicans. Thank you. This is George Waring.